The last time we had you for Satsang was August of 2014. So it's been a while.
Yeah, absolutely.
In that Satsang, we talked quite a bit about your particular journey, your personal journey.
Mm-hmm.
And I've listened to that again a couple of times, and I have some questions stemming from that. But before we go to that, I thought maybe this time a good way to open up would be to talk about what's going on with you there in Oregon and your organization.
Well, you know, it's a dedication that, you know, and you're probably familiar with that. What draws someone to a particular path or a particular way sometimes remains a mystery. And it certainly was true in the past of my own journey. But the beloveds who have been called to this path are very dedicated and very much devoted to remembering. And so everything really centers around that and letting go of the illusion that has been holding them all the, you know, for their many lifetimes. So we have here, it's pretty active in the sense that we have two satsangs a week that, and then we have a teaching time on Sundays. That's why we couldn't be at the same time. And it's very much centered in truth, of course, peace, of course, gentleness, forgiveness, and truth at the core of it all. And each beloved has their own journey, you know, and that's one of the truths that I hold very deeply is that we cannot ever judge anyone else's journey. So what happens in community often is that there's a tendency for the ego to want to compare with others, you know, and we've all touched that, you know, at some time. But it's such a core element that has no value to it in that comparison, because it's not possible. When you compare, you're spinning in a circle, because there's really nothing to compare to. You're comparing an illusion with an illusion. So right away you're spinning.
Right. And that's filtered through your own stuff.
Yes. Yes.
So you're not even experiencing what's really going on anyway, right?
No, no. And you're making up ideas of what you think you're seeing that somebody else may be walking through, or you think you know where they are in their journey, but you don't. Because the main reason is that time has no value, and it doesn't make any difference, and there are no levels and degrees within the truth of love. So when you start trying to bring levels and degrees which belong to the ego into a comparison, it's a false comparison all the way. Because, for example, you could be sitting next to a beloved in the satsang, and you could have an idea, oh, they've been in this path for 6 years, so they must be, you know, here because they've been there for 6 years. Time means absolutely nothing except how it's used spiritually. And in one moment, that beloved who just started in the spiritual journey, and the one who has been sitting there for 6 years, the one who just started could have a complete remembering so quickly. And then the beloved who's been there sitting there for 6 years is going, what? Why? What about me?
I've had that experience. Yeah.
Exactly. You know, what am I doing that's not okay? Or I'm not being graced with an awareness. Yeah. But it has absolutely, it's a mystery. And we can't, even in the awakened state, you can't foresee or see what someone has to walk through or for how long, because it has nothing to do with time. It has to do with an interweaving of all of these beliefs that everyone carries in their own way, and just dependent on where the willingness is, where the awareness is. It's all, you know, I will say, and I probably said this in the last satsang that we had together. When I was in a shamanic path, and no one ever said this to me, so I'm not saying it like it was said to me, but I was very aware, because I was very in tune psychically, I was very aware that if there would have been a vote of who was going to wake up, I would have been at the bottom of the list. Right. And I held that also to a certain extent, for sure. And it all has to do with intention. It all has to do with the moment in time, outside of time, but still within time, that everything aligns. And, you know, it's like when you have a spiritual teaching that somehow you're wrestling with and you just can't seem to be able to receive it in its fullness at that moment. And then all of a sudden it's there, and you have no idea what the difference was from the moment that you weren't able to grasp it to the moment that you're actually integrated with it. And that's the mystery, because it's grace. It's miracles, it's blessings, but it is dependent on each beloved's willingness, but it just can't be compared, because it just has there's nothing that can be compared from each beloved to each beloved. And what one beloved is learning, another beloved is learning something else at the same time. It's not connected necessarily. And yet, in that mystery, it happens all the time that there will be a healing that will go through the community, and it will affect everybody. It will shake everybody up. Everybody will be what I call shaking and quaking, and losing their footing, in the sense that it needs to be loosened and let go. And that healing goes through everyone.
Is that because you're all participating in a shared experience there within the community?
Yes, because you have a shared intention. It isn't so much the experience as it is the shared intention and the prayer of what it is that you truly want. And that takes that devotion. But the devotion is there. It's not there for everyone in every moment in the same capacity.
Right.
But the intention is there. God has heard the direct prayer that everybody has, and that they are all in the wave of this vibration. Because there is a vibration within every spiritual path. There's a vibration that you enter into. And for the most part, you'll find to a certain extent that it's a familiar. It's a familiar vibration. You may have been in this vibration in a past life, and that may have been something with the path that you were on in a past life. But it's your recognition that this is where you're supposed to be, at least for now.
So do you think there's a place for all of us?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. It is guaranteed. There is no question that every beloved is going to remember, is going to wake up. It's not even a question. It's guaranteed. It's just when. That's our only actual choice.
You know, it's interesting, because we've been looking at some teachers who have suggested that like 10% of the people, and that may be being generous, only 10% of the people are really in this to, quote unquote, wake up. And the other
that may be.
And the other 90% are in it for another experience.
Yeah, and that's probably accurate in that sense of the space and time, but the mystery of it is that everyone is going to remember. It doesn't. Their conscious choice at that moment, maybe 10%. That may be accurate. Who knows? But it doesn't negate that every beloved is God's light and is guaranteed to remember. It's just when. There's a beautiful teaching that says you can delay, you can resist, you can put it aside, but that's all that you have the power to do. The truth is the truth, and it will touch every beloved. Now, that 10% has, and I speak to this often with the community, is you have this divine choice, and you are being called to be the representation of love in this world and open your heart and really bring love to each beloved that you meet, and not even who you meet. Let's say you're watching the news and you're getting caught in, which is, you know, pretty easy for beloveds to do, get caught in the fight, the story. You're there watching that news to bring the truth through your heart to those beloveds who are on that screen. You're there to hold them as the light of who they truly are, and not to join them in the story of their battleground, of their belief of what's real. And so then it becomes that you're in service all the time. And it, how different is that than, we look at beloveds like Mother Teresa that spent her whole life in service. It's no different. It's the same service. It's not the manifestation through form. It's the intention and the bringing of truth into the energy fields of love and letting them be carried. When you offer love, it's received, whether they are aware of it or not. That seed is planted. The truth is deeply planted, and it's the power of your heart.
Let's talk for a minute about what the goal is. You know, and we talk about it in terms of awakening, and some people talk about it in terms of enlightenment. I hear you talk about it in terms of bringing love to the illusion,
it is realization. It is awakening, but it's not a personal goal. Mm-hmm. It's through service. It's through love. Because without that, it just becomes another egoic quest.
Right.
And it's personal because the reason that you hear beloveds talking about awakening so much is most of the time because it's become personal, like a goal to meet.
Right.
And that isn't actually at all what's happening. It's actually that you're letting go of the personal completely and opening to the oneness beyond the body.
That is the service. Is that right?
That is the number one service. But you can't subtly or not so subtly make it a personal quest. So it's kind of like one time I saw myself. I was shown when I was in the journey. I was in a deep meditation with other beloveds, and all of a sudden, I was shown that I was willing, that I was believing still so deeply in scarcity that I believed that I had to get to God before somebody else did because there wasn't enough room if they got there first.
Right.
Now, this is taking the belief of scarcity and applying it to the spiritual ego. And I was shown that I would climb over the backs of other beloveds to get to what I needed to get to. And when that was shown to me, it was so clear that I was completely in an illusion that I could do that. You know, that I had to bring them with me. I had to have them in front of me.
How do you make that shift?
Well, it's by seeing it. You know, the scarcity principle is it touches everything in the world, absolutely everything. when you see through scarcity, it isn't the new age element of, you know, get what you want and visualize your, none. I'm not saying that that's not a starting point sometimes, but it's so beyond that, because the belief is at the bottom of the line is that there is a belief that love is scarce, that there isn't enough love,
right.
that you are missing the love. And so the turnaround really is that that's not possible. It may not be that you are aware or experiencing the deep love that you truly are, but first it has to be accepted. I had to accept that I could not be left behind, that I could not be without, and that there could not be a lack of love. Now I had to accept that. That's faith. It's not experience. It's faith that the teachings of love are true. At one point in the spiritual journey, when I was called to be in seclusion, and it was almost the last ego hurrah, and I went into what could be described as an insanity. And all of this insanity started just coming up, and it was, you know, it was just the universe of insanity. And what the insanity was saying was, you're making this all up. Love is made up.
Right.
This is the real world.
Right.
This is all you get. And you're probably, this is what the ego was saying to me, you're probably schizophrenic. And you're hearing voices, because I heard voices all the time and continue to. But, you know, that was a sign of my illness, of my mental illness. And I was with this for days. And it finally came. And what came was, I don't care. I don't care if I'm insane. If this is insanity, and that insanity opens the door to the Divine Mother, opens the door to all Divine Masters who are my teachers, who are my guides, who are my champions, I would rather be insane with them than sane in the world that I'm leaving behind.
Right.
That's really the key, is that above all else, only love is real. Nothing else has any truth to it. The beauty of that truth is that at any moment, anyone can stop. Let's say you're in your office and you've got a deadline or something, and you start to get nervous about it or uptight about it. You stop in the moment and you align and ask, is this peace? Am I experiencing peace right now? If I'm not experiencing peace right now, I'm making something up, because it's not love. And I can let that go, because there's nothing that you have to align with within this world to be safe or fulfilled or find your worth or anything else. It's all that your source is God, and you are the light of God now and forever. And you just have forgotten. It's that simple. And you don't have to do anything to prove your worth.
Yeah. And that's, and for some of us, that's a major obstacle.
Absolutely. For almost everybody.
Yeah, well, that's good to know.
yeah, it's a big club, because that's the ego's intention, is that your worth is nothing, and that wanting to prove your worth all the time is an addiction. You know, the ego is basically addiction. When you look at everything that the false self believes in, which is separation, hardship, difficulty, having to work, having to gain, having to prove, all of it is just totally fabricated. And What if you never again accepted that you had to prove your worth, that you were perfect right now? Not that you necessarily are in the awareness of it, of that perfection, but that you're accepting it. It's like a child. And often, you know, we refer to beloveds who are searching as children, because we have to become as children. We have to open to that innocence. And it would be like you open to the innocence of being a child, and you affirm, God has promised me that I don't have to prove myself. That is the promise, and I am aligning with that promise, and I'm not trying anymore. Every time that I'm trying, I'm surrendering it to God, because there's nothing for me to prove. And that acceptance. And you, just in your everyday, if you went to that place and just said, no, I don't have to prove myself, over and over again, the end of the day, you would be relaxed. And you would find that joy within you, because you're not burdening yourself with these false attempts at proving anything, which will never work.
Yeah, there's not enough proof out there.
There's not enough proof. There's no way. If somebody who becomes president of the United States, for lack of a better, you know, top billing, they're not proving their worth.
Right.
Not to put down their service at all, but they're not proving their worth. They're not going to come out of that presidency with a sense of their divinity.
Right.
They are working within the world, and bless them for that, if that's what they're called to. But it's really allowing yourself that God doesn't want you to even try to prove yourself. There's nothing there. When you take the truth, and you realize that God sees none of this, because illusion can't be seen in the truth. It's like, you know, everyone in this community, they're always surprised because I'm never upset. And Judith, who kind of runs the show, in many ways, she used to, when I used to travel a lot, she would be asked by beloveds, is she always like this? doesn't she ever like have a bad day? No, she doesn't. She says, I've been waiting 7 years, 8 years, 9 years. And there's nothing to be upset about. There's nothing. It's all love. And you end up not seeing anything else. And that doesn't mean that you're not available for service of love and to see and hear the cry for love. That's for sure. But immediately that cry for love is held in a deeper truth, which is absolutely necessary. One of the elements that I was shown as I was being called to serve in opening a path was the Divine Mother. And it was always that there was nothing but love, and that that's all that anybody wants. There's nothing else. It's everyone wants to be loved and to know love and to connect with that love. But because the world has used the word love, there is a real disturbance of not even realizing what love really is. You know, so when you look at Hallmark cards and they say, I miss you like crazy. I'm nothing without you. You know, those are the fantasies that parade as love.
Yeah.
And they're not, it's not the truth. The one of the elements of healing that is so powerful is that there's nothing to get outside yourself. Mm. There's absolutely nothing to get.
That's a tough one.
No, I know it is, but no one has anything that you don't have that's authentic. You cannot be the totality of love, which you are, and be missing something. All that's happened in the journey of separation is that you forgot and that you built another identity on top of the, for lack of a better term, on top of the over the truth of you. And all that you're doing is letting go of these false identities, and you're discovering within the light that's always been there. It's just been covered up. That's all.
You're saying this is what the spiritual practice is to let go of these covers.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because if you try to just go to the truth, it all comes with you. And you're so habitualized in your identity with it. It's like looking at your hand and saying, oh, yeah, that's the ego, because there's no body. You know, this hand isn't who I am. It's temporary. So I'll just cut that off. Well, nobody's going to cut off their hand. So we surrender. We surrender and we allow the spirit of love to show us by our willingness what's in the way. And it's an everyday journey. Because every beloved that you are with, every beloved you think about, every situation is a remembering of, is the opportunity to remember love and to let go more deeply. And I'm sure you're aware of when something comes that has been a habit and it just starts, that's all you're seeing, and it's showing up everywhere and it's like following you around. Well, that's spirit that is saying, you prayed for this here. I'm wanting to show it to you. I'm wanting you to see what you could let go of right now and forgive yourself for having believed that was in any way the truth. Let's say somebody has, everybody has habits that are of pain and suffering, some less, some more. But let's say you had the habit in the past of stealing something, you know, going into a store and getting that high of not getting caught, and, you know, and that there's some kind of emotional payoff to it. Then the Holy Spirit starts showing you this, and you want to run from it because you've put it into a box where you have shame and guilt holding it, you know, at a distance so that you're not affected by it so deeply, but it goes with you everywhere. And you see through the filter of all of your beliefs about yourself. So you're seeing everything of the world through that filter. But God is saying, just surrender. If you will surrender the need that you had for stealing, what was that? It was saying, I don't feel connected. I don't feel wanted. I don't feel taken care of. I don't feel nourished. And that's what is running that show. And then it's the opportunity of forgiving and healing all of that.
Well, is this something that we arrive at through self-inquiry? You know, what was I thinking? Why am I doing this? Or,
yes,
or is it in the surrender?
Well, it's in both.
Okay.
It's in both. The questioning, the inquiry is very important. But where the line kind of stops on the inquiry is a witch hunt. So beloveds will get really good at self-criticism and inquiry, and like, what are you doing? What do you know? You should know better by now. It's not a witch hunt. It's really surrendering to the spirit and asking for illumination of what is most helpful to see. So you're not in charge of what's being shown to you. Right. You're not like digging to try to find evidence, because then it's just the ego doing its thing.
Right.
But spirit will show you when you want to see it. It will be shown to you. Sometimes it takes a little while to get into that place where you can, where a holy vision can open and you can see what's in the way. But you also have to be ready to forgive and not judge it. Mm-hmm. Because the easiest thing to do is to want to hide your, what you might call your defects, and, you know, and put forth another imagery so that you will be loved.
Right.
But none of that is true. And it's just allowing the forgiveness that you have really done nothing, but you've carried that you have done something egregious.
Yes.
You're holding it as sin.
I heard you talk, a recent talk of yours, about being so happy to have been mistaken.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's a great talk.
It's very powerful. It kind of breaks through the facade of the illusion of this is my identity and this is what I'm being told I truly am. And it breaks that, and it brings happiness into it for being mistaken. That how it is such a tremendously luxurious place of alignment. Even though you're not in the awareness of oneness, you're just so happy that you weren't right about what you thought about the world and about yourself. That it's that, thank God that that nightmare of the past isn't reality and that I don't have to do this again. Thank God.
How do we get from the I know mind into the thank God I was wrong? How do you get from one place to the other?
Well, you have to go into the I don't know. The I don't know is the way home. It truly is, because basically you're opening a door that you don't know in the moment. Now, you're going to gather your knowing again, but the more that you enter into I don't know, I don't know how to look at this situation, I don't know what it's for, I don't know what it means, and I don't know which way God has me walking. But I'm following. I don't know anything, because all the knowing that I've brought is made up. So I'm entering, and then I'm happy. I'm happy to be not only mistaken, but that I really don't know, and that God does. And that when I open that door of not knowing, I enter into the vibration of wisdom and the vibration of love and truth. And the more that you are not only willing to drop into that not knowing, but that you are happy to drop into the not knowing. So when you look at your ego. Now, there's two ways of looking at the ego. One is, this is what's kept me from my deserving of love and truth. Okay, this false identity that I've put together. But it's not to hate it. It's to realize that I was mistaken and I was lost in a dream of upside downness that was all battle and had no light. But God is not judging that. And there is no condemnation for that. It was a mistake. And when you hold it as a mistake, then you can come out of it. Without the shame and the guilt, there's a beautiful essence that comes of being able to say, wow, I was really mistaken. And you know how when you're with others, how everybody has their posturing, you know, like everybody's posturing of like, you know, who's in charge, who's this, who's that, and everybody's kind of vying for their space or whatever. Imagine in that. That you would just stand up and say, you know, I was just totally mistaken. I don't know where I belong, and I don't know who's in charge, and I'm just showing up here. And it's a place of humility that says, I'm not concerned and I'm not worried anymore about being hurt. I'm not afraid anymore of being exposed, because we're all carrying the same untruth. And I'm going to stand in the light and say, I was mistaken. How, you know, it's such a relief to just be mistaken.
One of the problems that I see going forward is that we continue to do what we've always done, which is to, so we come from a mistaken point and then we find, for example, A Course in Miracles, and you go, oh, okay. I mean, and many of us have been studying the Course for years and years and years, and you're like, now I do know, now I understand. And so we've closed that I don't know space again.
No, but that's the hook. Because in actuality, you still don't know. And it's what every teaching, whether it's the Course or any other teaching from any master, is going to be saying basically the same thing. But it's going to be saying you have to stay in the not knowing. This is not about theory. This is about living the truth. And when you live the truth, it's a whole other world than theoretically knowing the truth, because they're not the same thing at all. So let's say you know the truth. Let's say one of the teachings says, I could see peace instead of this. Okay. Well, okay. I could see peace instead of this. But if you're not stopping and using that in your daily life, not necessarily that particular, but teachings that are being brought to you purposefully because you have studied them and now they're in your problem-solving awareness, then you go to that teaching and you use it in that moment. Let's say you're on the phone with somebody and they're being kind of grumpy or demanding your interpretation is that or whatever, and you find yourself caught. Well, that's the moment. It's the moment of, I could see peace instead of this. This is not of God. And I'm changing my mind. I'm not going to hold this of this beloved. This is a cry for love that is coming over the phone. That teaching has to be, they all have to be implemented into your daily life and lived. Because it's in living them that they actually challenge, in a sense, what you've held as truth.
Right.
And that's really what the fear is. So somebody's yelling at you, and you go to, I could see peace instead of this. But everything in your system is saying, no way. This person is yelling at me. They have no right to yell at me. I've got to tell them that they have to stop yelling at me. So in that moment, you're joined with them rather than stepping back and letting God lead and bringing truth to that moment. I'm so glad I was mistaken. This is not my enemy. This is my beloved. And they're calling to me for help out of their misery. How am I bringing love to them? How am I seeing them? Am I seeing them as the light of God, or am I giving them an identity that is based on what I see? Because everything that you see with the eyes is ego-driven. That's where it comes from. So it's living it. And it doesn't matter which teaching it is. No teaching is going to be magic by knowing the details of it. It just has to be lived. And that's really what, when you look at Jesus walking on the earth plane, that was his demonstration. He demonstrated the resurrection. He demonstrated, you can't hurt me.
Right.
I'm not capable of being hurt within this body because this body is not what or who I am. And it's a demonstration. And we have to demonstrate, not the crucifixion, we have to demonstrate the resurrection. We have to live the resurrection and bring that light and love to every beloved. And as we bring love, we are healed. It's not in a vacuum of separation, so it's the beauty. It's the perfection. And it's, thank God I was mistaken. Thank God I don't have to keep doing this with every day. I was mistaken. There's a deliciousness in having been mistaken, because when you live in a nightmare of the past and somebody is like shaking you and saying, wake up, it's not true. Oh my God, it's heaven. It's what everybody is looking for. And that's what every spiritual teaching is saying. Wake up, it's not true.
I heard you talking about faith. Mm-hmm. And you said that in this lifetime, everything could be healed. I had such a deep, deep hope in that truth that I put my faith in it. So I'd like you to talk a little bit about faith and how that relates to this hope that indeed I have been mistaken.
Yeah. Well, faith is something that comes from within for sure. And it's a choice. And it's the hope comes first. You know, the hope is kind of almost like a fantasy. Like you're a child and you're daydreaming about another life or, you know, an easier life. And then this teaching comes to you at a certain point in your life that it could be from whoever and whatever. It could be Ramakrishna. It could be whoever, Jesus, whatever. And it hits you that this has nothing to do with the world that you lived or that you thought you lived. And hope becomes faith, that you're putting your faith in the teachings that are so, antithetical to the world.
Right.
You know, it just has no connection. And you're walking through an element of, so almost everybody goes through this in one way or the other. You have an awareness that comes and a calling. It starts calling to you and you're pulled. But at a certain point, all of what you've made kind of comes back and looks at you. So your family of origin in this lifetime, your friends, your classmates or your work coworkers or what, you know, your social group starts looking at you and saying, what is the matter with you? You know, you're not dancing with us anymore. And that's your faith that is actually pulling you out of, it's not that you're deserting them. It's not that you're abandoning them, but you're shifting into another journey. And that takes faith because you're saying in a way, not goodbye to these beloveds because you're there to serve them too. But you're not joining them anymore as much as possible. And it becomes more and more obvious as you go deeper and deeper. It's not a rejection of them, but it is a rejection of the world that you made. And that takes faith because you're putting your faith in a teaching. You're not putting your faith in an experience, more than likely. Now, there are a few beloveds who will have, you know, those type of deep experiences first. I sort of had one, but that's not what it is. It's the yearning that comes from your heart that you're called to something deeper and greater than what you've ever expected. And that it feels like home. There's a hymn that I sing sometimes. It's called 1 minute to midnight. 1 minute to midnight and the train is pulling in. 1 minute to midnight and my new life will begin. I'm going home. And then the second verse is basically similar, but I'm coming home. I'm opening the door. I'm coming home because it's calling. And all of the spiritual practice is to keep that faith and that trust open of truth. Trust is this, you know, just really connected with faith. Trusting that the teachings are true. And we do have to make that recommitment constantly in the journey because we don't have the strength yet for the most part to keep it constant. So we have to reinforce that all the time. What is it that you truly want? When you ask that question daily, it brings you back to an alignment that is absolutely necessary. Why is it necessary? Because of what you were saying before, the ego habit is so entrenched that we have to constantly, that's why there's a spiritual practice. You wouldn't have to have a spiritual practice if you would just say, okay.
I got this.
Yeah, I got this. I'm in. Right, I'm in. Right, okay. Right. But because of the habits of the past, we have to keep reinforcing and keep coming back to sanity. And it gets stronger and stronger and stronger as we keep coming back to that truth. Then in the journey, you start seeing through another lens. You're not seeing with your eyes anymore. You're seeing with a combination of your mind and your heart. And you're seeing, when you hear the cry for love, you're seeing it too. You know, you can see someone and they open the door to that compassion that says, I'm here to serve this beloved. They may be, you know, screaming obscenities or whatever. That's not who they are. That's their fear. I've had that fear. And I know that pain, and it isn't the truth of them. And I'm holding them without that pain. I'm holding, when you hold someone without the pain that they believe is real, you're not minimizing them, and you're not, like leaving it behind or something. You're saying, I'm holding this for you, just like the masters held it for me. I have to hold this for you. You're not necessarily saying that, but you're holding it in your heart because that's your healing too. And you can feel that connection and that strength. And you're not holding them by yourself either. You're joined. When you say, yes, I'm here to answer this cry for love, all of the divine beings that are seen and unseen are joining you. We took some pictures of a space of an altar here in the sanctuary. And the picture came out. It was the only picture that came out like this, but the picture of the altar was completely swathed in pink light. Hmm. Completely. It was so dense. That's the divine that always shows up and is always with you. We just don't see it usually. This was given as an affirmation of a devotion for our beloved. But it doesn't usually happen that way. But every once in a while we get that truth, and it comes through in a miraculous way that can't be denied. And it's for a purpose. It's for faith. It's to reinforce the faith that when you see that, I am being held. And the beloved who took that picture of her altar, her comment was, I can never doubt this again.
Wow.
It's too clear. It was for me. It was the divine. And I said, yeah, that's exactly what it's for. It's for your reassurance and your faith that you go beyond the photograph, but that you take that strength and you move with it. There's nothing in God that wants it to be difficult. That's kind of like putting out roadblocks, you know, let's see if they can trip over this one and trip over that one. No, we do that ourselves. That's not what the truth of God is. There's no trying to trip you up and make it difficult at all.
Let me ask you a question. I got a sense a moment ago, and I know this is my own block, but we were talking about practice. And mm-hmm. I'm having trouble with the connection. I know it's there, but I know it's because I'm looking through the personal self's mm-hmm. eyes, right? Yeah. But mm-hmm. But we were talking about practice and how I apply theory and, you know, actually mm-hmm. apply that in my daily life. And then mm-hmm. we moved to a discussion of, am I seeing this person with love? Mm-hmm. So and I'm not sure that I can formulate this question, because it seemed like we were talking about, you know, what I needed to do. And then it was like more of a service thing. And so I'm just okay. having a hard time making the transition.
All right. So it isn't a transition. It's part of the daily practice.
Right.
It's as or not more of your daily practice than your morning meditation, your prayers, you're listening to teachings while you're driving, or all of that. It's all part of that. But where it really comes down to the rubber meets the road is your judgment of yourself and your judgment of the outside. And that is where the deepest healing occurs. So you can, you know, the purpose of the meditation in the morning or praying is to open and expand and remember and be available and be in that harmonious flow. So then you're done with your meditation and you go out into the world and you go, oh, those idiots in the car next to me. Well, where did that meditation go? You know, that's really where you're in the world with, just like Jesus was. Because the beloved who's in the car next to you is wanting your blessing. Are you there in the moment? Because it's all about being present in the moment. And in that moment, that beloved is the opportunity of healing for you. It can be the person in the car next to you. It can be the somebody on the corner. It can be the beloved who is stacking your groceries for you. You know, it doesn't matter who it is. It could be the person in the line next to you. You know, your mind just goes to assessing and opinions about who's in front of you, who's in back of you. It's kind of mindless, but it's running. And so to be conscious is, so you're standing in the grocery line, and in the ego, the mind is just wandering and touching on different things and judging it and assessing it and, you know, building a story out of, oh, but, you know, and these stories are building while you're standing there. But where God is calling you to is to be present in that moment and know that before you and after you is your beloved. And what offering are you there for in the moment? Are you expressing love just in your standing there? What did you think of the beloved who was in front of you? Were you looking at the back of their head and judging their haircut? That's what we
do. Yeah.
That's what gets done. But that is the moment. That's the practice. I'm not going to go there. I'm going to realize that this beloved, who I don't know their name, I don't need to know their name, I don't need to know their story, they are the light of God. And I'm blessing them in this moment just for, because we're one. We can't be separate. We're one. And it opens your heart and it connects you in that moment. You've made the connection. It's maybe not totally deeply the full connection, but it's opening those doors.
But that is, and I hear you saying that, that is the practice, is the extension of love.
Yes. Yeah. Because when you... If you believe that you are love, if you're accepting that you are love, then you're priming. You're priming the pump. You're opening to the love that you are, that you have forgotten.
Wow.
And you're extending it. And also to yourself. It's not just to beloveds in other bodies. It's to you. If you're driving in the car and your mind is wandering, or you're home and you're cooking dinner, or your mind is wandering and you're critical of yourself and you're, you know, who is the I that is condemning the I? You know, it's not of God. It's not of God. And it isn't God's will for you to be criticizing and having an opinion about yourself that isn't true. And that's where you stop and you affirm and you bring yourself back to love again. That this isn't God's will for you. You are the light. You are the love. You have done nothing. There's a little mantra that I give beloveds sometimes when there's a panic going on, because it's part of the journey, kind of, you know. And I will just have them, I'll say to them, okay, just right now, feel your feet on the ground and affirm you are loved, you are held, you are fed, you are seen, and just be there with this. Just allow this present moment to accept that you are held, that you are loved, that you are fed, that you are seen. And let yourself accept that this is the power of God, and it's for you. If you were the only only being on this planet, it would be the same love. You would receive the same love. You are everything and you are part of everything. And it's that acceptance that there is nothing in God that is not nourishing you right now. But it has to be accepted. And then it has to be extended because it's your natural state.
That's who we are. And that's why that's the practice, right? Yeah. To experience who we are.
Absolutely. And to experience through another, because they are you. So when you're offering love, you're not offering love to somebody else.
Right.
You're offering love to the truth of your oneness.
Right.
And it's transformative. That's the miracle. That's you bringing the miracle to your world, to your life.
By extending love to others?
Yes. Yeah. By the willingness, the faith that what you're seeing coming out of the body is not the truth of them. Their expressions, their reactions, their fears, that's not the truth of them. And you're looking beyond that. You're not looking with the eyes, though. You're looking with the heart. And in that, holy vision will open. You will see the divine. Compassion will just pour out of you and embrace the beloved. And it's very, very powerful, of course.
Can we talk a little bit about how you move from your head to your heart?
To your heart, mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, it's focused on love. It's not so easy to describe, but it's your intention. Mm. So if you walk into a house and you're just walking along and you're in your mode of, you know, the world or wherever you were or whatever, and you're just there and you walk into that house and there's a baby laying there looking at you. And the baby's kind of whimpering, but your heart's going to open.
Right.
Your heart is going to connect. Well, that baby is every beloved.
Wow.
And it's to see them as that innocence. When you're looking at a baby, even though they come in with their own ego, you're able to see it more easily.
Right.
Because, first of all, because they can't answer back. And well, it does. It opens up a place of safety that you know, it can be helpful.
Right.
But you're seeing that baby and your heart starts to open and you relax. Because being undefended is a natural state. So there's a teaching in the Course that's one of the primary teachings. In my defenselessness, my safety lies.
Yes.
Undefended. If you are undefended in this moment, let's say there's nothing for you to protect, there's nothing for you to defend, your heart can come. It's almost like there's a calling and saying, come out, come out. Come out. Really, because there's a defense system that's built around the heart. You can feel it. You can feel it when there's some agitation or some difficulty and how you tighten up and contract.
Right.
Right. That's the heart. That's protecting the heart. And it's about being undefended and taking that step toward the baby and really seeing everyone as that innocence, including yourself, that there's nothing to hurt you. I cannot be hurt. I mean, to own that and to contemplate, I cannot be hurt because I'm not a body. The divine spirit cannot be touched except through love. And that's who you are. When I was in healing, even before I was called spiritually, I was in healing because I had tried to commit suicide. I don't know how many times. And it was all just every morning waking up to the same pain, the same beliefs. And I realized that, and the focus of it usually was the beloved who had come as my father, who tortured and that was his intention at the time. but I couldn't even say his name. I couldn't say the word Father, you know. So somehow the Holy Spirit, without my being aware that it was the Holy Spirit, said, see him as the child. See him as 2 years old.
Right.
And hold him as the two-year-old. And that way I could enter. And the defense was down. That's the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. It's just finding the way that that you can connect and let go of the defense. Even if it's somewhat of a trick, it starts the door to open. And then you begin to see everyone through the truth that they have done nothing. Because if you have done nothing, then everybody else has to be in the same identity. And that was too precious to reject. You've done nothing. Can you imagine that you have spent all of this lifetime and every lifetime behind you, and nothing has happened that has changed the truth of who you are? You have done nothing. I tell beloveds, actually, that if you did nothing from the time you were born till you passed out of the body, it would make absolutely no difference. The truth of you doesn't change. So you can just drop the prover,
yeah,
you know, and really relax, rest in God, in the truth that you don't have anything to prove.
Yeah, that seems rather fanciful.
Fanciful?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, so what is it that you believe that you would have had to prove?
Yeah, I mean, intellectually, I see that, you know, I have to prove that I'm lovable, that I'm worthy, that I'm, I don't know, that maybe I'm loving enough that others should love me back, you know?
So, but here's the other thing. There's no love to get.
That's what I keep forgetting.
I know. There's no love to get. You have it all. You have it all. It's not that everybody else doesn't have it too, but you have maximum, you are that love. That's faith. That's where faith comes in, because you don't know it. I didn't know it, but I had to put my faith there that there was no purpose to this life without the ultimate truth. There was no purpose of being here except to remember. And to remember was to accept that there's only love.
That's what I'm remembering, is that there is only love.
Yeah, and that there is only one. There is only light. There is only peace. Everything that love is, which is gentleness, honesty, truth, everything that it is, it you are. And just feel into the relaxing of that. I rest in God. Me really is saying, it's not saying you're gonna be in a hammock all day. It's that you're resting your mind in the truth of love, and you're resting your heart open in the truth of love. And that's God. And you're always taken care of. You're always held. Now, we don't know that. When we believe in scarcity, when we believe in battle, when we believe in having to prove, no, we don't, we're not in touch with our divinity, but it's there. And that's the faith that you're promised that it's there, and that your divinity is never compromised, never damaged.
And then the practice is to act from that space.
Yes. Yes. It's to take the truth, because if you are defended, if you're in a situation where you're defended, you're not in that moment. Basically, what you're saying is, I'm right and God is wrong. And when you're able to see the arrogance of that, that comes through fear, you know, why would I choose to be right when I left that misery? I thought I was right in the past, but I've left that. I'm going to stay with the truth. There's a beautiful, this was one of the first teachings that hit me really, really hard. It was based on a hymn that was from a master, and the words were, I have regretted, and it's called I Cry a Lot. And it's, I have regretted and cried about everything that I've lamented for in the past. And now I am going to go and live with my Blessed Mother among the flowers. And that's what you're saying. I'm not interested anymore. I don't want to do these same habits again and again. And the next line of that, which was one of my deepest healings in the beginning, was that fear was a great rebellion. And I had panic attacks for 10 years and believed that fear was a lot in life that was just the curse of being born. And when I accepted that teaching, that fear was the great rebellion against God, it changed everything, because it changed my awareness that I was choosing fear and saying no to God at the same time. And that I didn't have to do that, that I could choose peace, that I could choose that I was safe, that I could choose that the lies of the past were fabricated, and I could forgive all of it. Now, did that happen overnight? No, but it was the journey. And it certainly doesn't have to be that long. You know, it just is long because we
expect it to be.
Remember and forget. Yeah, we step in, we step out, we step in, we step out.
Well, and you said in the last set, saying something about remembering that you have the ability to choose, about that being a very important part of this process.
Oh, it's number one. It's the only choice is the only element that we carry ourselves. The rest is all God's healing power. But we have choice, and it's a temporary choice, because it's only because of the ego that we had to be given choice. When you wake up, there's nothing to choose. There's no opposite. There's no other. So there's no problem.
So in every moment, I'm choosing what? My thoughts, my feelings, or all of it?
All of it. Your identity, your habits, your identity, you know, of whatever the moment brings, because it's so multifaceted, you know. And it's just, when you're present, your wholeness is right there. And it's the truth. And when you're in the past and the future, which work together, you're not available for the truth of you.
Right.
So it makes sense to come to stay present. But to stay present is it actually invokes a lot of fear, because it feels unprotected.
Right.
At first, you know, it won't always, but it to a certain extent, it feels unprotected. But the more that you're aware of that, oh, that's just my fears coming up, because I'm used to being, you know, safe in my past, even though that was where the misery was. It's what I counted on. I counted on knowing. Knowing comes from the past. What could you possibly know that wasn't from your past? You know, so you're automatically, when you know, you're automatically going to the past. And there's no love there. There's no you there. There's no trust there. And there's no being present there. You just went into a total illusion. Also the future. If you're trying to figure out what's going to happen, it's a place of fear. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be based on the past, because you have no other reference point. When you're surrendered and present, then the divine can open all the doors and make the future completely like the present. It just becomes an extension of the present, because your mind isn't hooked on it anymore, of trying to protect yourself. Does that make sense?
It does. My question is about, you talk about being surrendered. Mm-hmm. How do you do that?
Okay. They all go together. Trust, surrender, and faith.
Yeah.
Surrender is a disowning. It's an actual disowning, where you are taking a belief that has, or an experience, and you're giving it to God. You're not keeping this for yourself anymore. So let's say your sister was the most agitating person in your life in the past. Okay, so that belief that your sister was the cause of your pain, just you taking that belief and disowning it, that no, I'm not going to, I don't want this anymore. This is yours, God. I give it to you to be cleansed. I give it because I am not willing to see her in this light anymore, or the way that I've been holding
right.
her. And you're disowning it. That means it's not yours anymore. So it's a big leap of faith, because you're not going to be with that defensive identity anymore. You're willing to see her differently. And you're also willing to accept that whatever it is that is in your mind has nothing to do with her at all, because the healing isn't for her to, you know, if she would get better, I would feel better, but it isn't about her. It's about disowning all of the lies of separation. She's a reflection of you. There's only one, and you'll be together forever because there's only one. We can't be separate. You are my heart. It has nothing to do with your personality. It has nothing to do with your accomplishments. It has nothing to do with your age or anything, your intelligence or your nothing. It has to do with your intrinsic expression of God, that you are the light of all creation, and it's right here. And that's our oneness. And I don't have to know anything about you to know you. This is intimacy. The intimacy that I see you, I am one with you, I hold you, I melt with you, because there is only this one love. And you can never do anything that changes that truth. You could be screaming at me, you know, as much as you'd want to, it wouldn't change a thing. You couldn't change the heart from its truth. This is who and what you are. And the gift is that I want you to have this. I want you to recognize the truth of you, not for me, but for you, because you are the light of God, and I want to serve that love.
Why do you want to serve that love?
Because there's nothing else. Because it's the heart. And without you, I'm not complete. And that doesn't mean I'm grabbing you and taking you with me. But you're already in my heart. You are in my heart. There's no stranger. There's no other. And I don't have to know. You know, I'll tell you a little funny story that I was up visiting in Portland, and the beloved who came as my granddaughter was in the other room, and I was doing a phone session with the beloved kind of quickly while I was up there. And she came into the room, and I said, just give me another minute, honey, and we're just closing. And so I said to the beloved on the phone while she still had the door open, I said, well, goodbye, we were already saying goodbye, and I said, goodbye, my love. And she looked at me and she said, my love? I'm your love. They're not your love. And that ego response was the world. You know, that somehow if I love you with all of my heart, that somehow something else is losing something.
Right.
No, it's all the abundance. I can love you freely because there's nothing else, and it's all that there is, and it's natural. I can't help it. I wouldn't want to, but there's just nothing else. And how perfect and luscious is that? You know, but you have to have an awareness that you are so loved that you can't change it. You can't do anything that changes that at all.
Well, and that's where the faith comes in.
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely. That acceptance. And that there's no competition. There's enough.
There's enough to go around.
There's enough. It's permeating. And really what that photograph that we had with all of the rose, that's what it was. It was so dense in love in that picture that there, it was permeating everything.
Wow.
And that's the love that you are. And that's the love that is always surrounding you. Because it's the natural state. We just, in the world, we just don't see it. But the more you open your heart, the more you're going to see it.
And I open my heart by
being undefended. So it comes from the mind. It's the mind that is running the show. It's like the man behind the curtain in The Wizard of Oz. You know, that's the ego mind running the show, and you think it's got all this power, but it really doesn't. And as you release your beliefs and come into the not knowing more and the truth with God, your heart can come out of its hiding place because it's no longer scared.
So I leave myself undefended by, I'm sorry, but
that's okay. It's okay. It's okay. This is it. Undefended means there's nothing to defend.
Right.
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 So if you're not now, here's one of the keys. The key is that you're not a body. Because everything is about defending the body,
right?
Right? The identity, the integrity of the identity, the personality, the emotional body, and the physical body. But you're really not going to be defending that anymore because it's not the truth. Your eternal self is not dependent on this body. You've carried many bodies. You've carried the identity in many, many different ways. None of them have been you. And it's that inner journey. So I know you've heard this phrase, to enter with the friend within. Mm-hmm. Who's the friend within? The friend within is your divine companion. Your friend is a combination of you and God. And you have to meet that friend. Because it's where your love really is and where it can come forward. When I was in seclusion, Jesus said, okay, you don't know yourself as a friend. And it was true. I didn't. I would have gone anywhere with anybody for good company, but I wouldn't go with me for good company. That's why I was put into seclusion, because I had to open to that good company.
Right.
So Jesus said, imagine that I'm walking toward you and that you're so happy to see me and that you're going to receive so much from me and that I hold so much healing for you. He says, now you're walking toward yourself.
Wow.
It's not Jesus anymore. It's you. Are you as not excited, but as happy to see yourself as you are to see Jesus? You know, do you think that Jesus has something to offer you that you don't have? No.
Wow.
It just hasn't been discovered yet. But the friend within. So, and I began seeing myself, not, I didn't go to the movies or anything anymore, but I saw myself like going to the movies with myself and being so happy for the companionship of the self. And it has to be nurtured that way.
Wow.
Because it's been shoved away, and all the emphasis has been on projection,
right,
of believing that everybody else has it and you don't. And that's the lie. That's the lie. The friend is within, and it's to meet that friend, because it's who you are, and to be so happy that the friend is within. And it's your heart. It is absolutely your heart. And you can practice that. One of the things that I was called to practice was actually to pull my heart forward.
Yes.
So in the past, it was like there was a, you know, mark covering up. It was bringing my heart forward, walking with it forward, having it actually connect and feeling the rays of love coming intentionally from my heart and spreading into the world.
Wow.
and practicing that. And for about a year, I had a tremendous pain in my heart chakra, in the front and the back. But I knew that it was healing. I knew that it was like tearing away the protection that I had built around it. And that was God's miracle. That was God's work. And I had the faith to allow the pain that was coming with it to not be afraid of it.
Right.
And to just treat it like I was in surgery. And I use surgery sometimes as an example, because one of the elements of the ego is, I know everything. I know how to do everything. Don't tell me what to do. I know it all.
Right.
Well, if you're having surgery, do you lay on that table and try to tell your surgeon what they should be doing? No, you give yourself to it. That's the surrender. You trust just in that world level. You're trusting that you're in good hands. Well, the divine physician is God and spirit. And that is your healing agent. And it's not to believe that you have to do it on your own. We that have come to serve, and all those that join us in serving, it's all for love, and it's all for support. It's all for strength, because we can't walk this journey alone. I couldn't have walked this journey alone. I had to have my mighty companions support me and hold me and correct my awareness. I loved correction. I wanted to be corrected,
right,
because it was love.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not being afraid of the correction, you know, when you see things differently, and I call that the squeeze or the shaking and quaking, because we get squeezed in the healing and it pops out the lies. So it's not to be afraid of the squeeze either. It's my teacher Jose used to say, "Oh, isn't this wonderful? You're receiving healing. You're being squeezed." And I would be like, "I don't want to be squeezed." But I did. I did want to be squeezed. And you just go through it like you do laying on the table with the divine surgeon.
Right.
You allow it, and you invite it and welcome it. And it's always going to be something that's ready to pop away.
Right. So if I'm leading with my heart, like you talk about, I'm opening uh-huh. myself to that correction. I am giving up the thoughts that tell me I'm not good enough. I need to do more.
Or anybody else's judgment, or your judgment of them, or anything else. Yeah. I'm here to open to love. And as you're opening to, you know, your heart being open, it all the fear starts coming up.
Right.
You know, it does. But that's what it's for, is to have that healing occur by getting squeezed out and exposed. Because once you really see what's in the way, you don't want it anymore. It's not the truth of you. And there are things that we see, the hatred, you know, I hated so many. I hated them. I cursed them. I didn't want anything to do with them, but it was all fear.
Mm.
It was all fear of being hurt,
right,
and or some equivalent idea about it. And I had to accept in faith that I could not be hurt, even though I had all the evidence of being tortured and beaten and starved, but none of it stayed, because it was the illusion. And it's hard to believe that those past things can be totally gone, but it's true. That's how deep and powerful real healing is. I couldn't do that. I went through therapy for 15 years. It didn't change a thing. Only God could heal the beliefs that I carried and the identity that I carried. There's no way. And that's true for everybody. It's the miracle of love. And it will be transformed.
So, and this is where the choice comes in. The practice is to quit defending myself, quit protecting myself.
That's right.
And open to love.
Yeah. And when you have that intention, the Holy Spirit is actually showing you what's in the way. You know, so don't be afraid of it. You know, so if all of a sudden you have this awareness of you being hateful to someone, you know, when you were 16, it's being brought to you so that you can see that you were defended and that you don't need to be defended, and you can surrender that beloved and all that you held about them, and forgive yourself for believing that they were the enemy.
Right.
And that you don't have any enemies. Because love doesn't have enemies. Can you stand up and say, I am the light of God? I don't mean right now.
Okay, yes.
but that you're aligning with that all the time. That you're standing in an elevator and you are the light of God. And you're radiating love. Nobody else is knowing that you're radiating love, but you're radiating love just in your practice. You're just using that moment to bless everyone in the elevator and see and want to see them all as the light of God. And that there is no problem. Can you imagine? No problem. There is no problem. Let me recognize that the problem doesn't exist, and let me recognize that it's been solved, because there never was a problem other than I thought I was separate from God. And that isn't true. So every time you think you see a problem, you come back, there is no problem. I'm one with God, and I have done nothing to separate myself. I'm coming home.
And just be willing to step into that.
Yeah. Absolutely. If not now, when?
Right.
You know, and why not you?
And why not me? Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah. Otherwise, it's always in the future.
That's right. And it's always, I'll think about that tomorrow. But, or it's making compromises. You know, the ego loves to make compromises and bargain. Mm. You know, I'll keep this, but I'll give you this. And, you know. And eventually you raise the white flag. Say, okay, this is the other thing too, is that the word surrender is used within the world as losing. Mm. You know, when somebody loses a battle, you surrender and you're the loser.
Right.
Surrender is not losing. Surrender is actually you're gaining the truth. You're saying yes to the truth. And you're surrendering what's a lie.
Yeah, it's not a sacrifice.
It's not a sacrifice, not at all. I had a beloved ask why I've had a lot of beloved say this, but he said one day, he said, how do you not get tempted by whatever in the world? I said, yeah, there's just nothing here. It's just, it's all love, you know, and the form is now being used for love. But there's nothing missing. There's nothing to get. And I don't regret letting go of the past. Not in any way. Because it doesn't exist. And don't you want to open to the love that is all of your relationships, and they're all holy, and they're all...
Yeah.
Yeah. And we have that power. In your everyday life, it's not a special place. There's nothing special here that's different, or you know, I didn't have a special ingredient that took me to awake. No, it absolutely, it was just my yes, and the yes was the center. And if I was going to do a spiritual journey, why wouldn't I do it as deeply and as fully as possible? You know, I wasn't willing to spend another lifetime just meeting new spiritual possibilities.
Right.
So, you know, then you do what's most helpful.
Right.
And everybody shows up that is for your healing.
Everybody and everything.
Everybody and everything.
As you continue to say yes.
I have beloveds that say, well, you can't die, you can't go. And I say, you know, God is not going to leave you without. There's something you're going to have, whoever it is that you need. It's guaranteed.
Right.
Nobody's indispensable in form. And I didn't lose my teacher. My teacher passed out of the body, and he was still my teacher. He was more my teacher out of form than he had been when he was in form. I was more connected with him. For some reason, him leaving the body was actually it was easier to communicate with him. So he stayed, and he was my teacher. So it was all perfect. Wow.
Chris, I see that we have, we've actually gone beyond our 90 minutes. So, I want to thank you so much for your clarity, your willingness to share that clarity and to share the love. I feel it, and I really appreciate it. Yeah.
I feel it too, my darling.
Lovely.
Oh,
lovely.
All right, my love. Well, I send you all my love and all my blessings and hold you in that always.
Thank you. Namaste.
Namaste, my darling.